You are so worthy of our praises, and we thank you so much that you've given us that privilege to worship you, to come before you, Lord. God, to read the very word that you've given us, and to welcome your Holy Spirit, that we might live according to your ways, that we might be blessed. And Lord, this is all because of you. All this is because of your grace that you've given us. All this, Lord God, the sacrifice that you made. Lord, not willing that any should perish. Thank you for the work that you've done, that we might rest in you, Lord. You are so good, and we thank you so much. God, we look forward to this time together, this continued worship of you. In Jesus' name. Proverbs 6 and Proverbs 24. And please remain standing as we continue the worship of the Lord through the reading of his word. Proverbs 6 and Proverbs 24. Starting in verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And then Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles, its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Please be seated. Again, as I mentioned, the topic today is laziness. As I walked out of my house this morning, I noticed that there's a patch in my lawn that has weeds in it. And I noticed that I didn't do anything yesterday to take those weeds out, so they're there today. And I'm going to go back tomorrow, and I still haven't done anything about it, and they're going to be there tomorrow. And I noticed yesterday, oh, by the way, this is news, honey, there's a leak in our car. And if I don't take care of that, there's going to be a bigger problem in that car. All these things obviously have to do with laziness. But there's also there's different kinds of laziness. There's things where we don't tend to things, and we're going to talk a lot about that. But there's also an aspect of laziness that meets us spiritually, that deprives us spiritually, that deprives us intellectually, that deprives us of being the men and women, the young men and women that God would have us to be. It robs us. Laziness robs us. And so that's why the Lord would bring that up in the Bible. It's because it's an important, we need to understand how important it is not to be lazy. And also making the distinction between being lazy and being restful. God calls us to be restful. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, "All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you not sleep, I will give you rest." Our rest is in the Lord. The work is done. His work is done in our life. Now, we have, over the last, probably 100 years or so, it's seen it more and more. I mean, we're all familiar with what's been often called the Protestant work ethic, you know, and diligence that, you know, if you work hard, you will be rewarded, you know, and work is its own reward, and there's a lot to be said for that. That also can become problematic. You know, there has to be that balance in work. But we have accepted over the last 100 years or so, I believe that you've seen it continue to come up, where we've accepted laziness first as a problem and not necessarily sin. And now we've stuck labels on it that are disease oriented. So it's completely out of our control. Now, as we see, you know, we know people, maybe we are that person that allow the slightest issue to derail derail us or derail them. You know, it just the whatever it is that's in their way, we just it gets us off track. You know, it gets us right back to the couch. While there's others that'll just continue on. They'll just continue to press beside. You know, regardless of great setbacks. You know, whether it's in their family life, whether it's in their jobs, the upkeeps of their bodies, their homes and possessions, and their walk with the Lord, a lazy person will find a reason to just not continue on. But there are others who seem to be constantly in motion. Hardly anyone, hardly somebody that you could characterize as being lazy, and yet they seem to accomplish nothing. So again, laziness is not, you know, we can stereotype laziness, and as a matter of fact, in what you're going to see in here, some of the things that I've presented almost seems stereotypical, but there's also a laziness that sometimes you need to dig a little bit deeper to find. Unfortunately, if you're too lazy, you won't ever dig deep enough to find that. So laziness shows up in the quality of our work, or the lack thereof, I guess I should say. There's never an exertion of energy to dive below the surface of something, to find out what it's about. Now, granted, we have to make the distinction between laziness and capacity as well. I mean, I don't think, ever delve into areas of engineering or surgery or anything like that, because it remains a mystery to me. And will continue to remain a mystery to me. I do not have the capacity for those kind of things. But for the things that I have been given, do I do what I am supposed to do? And so I am not lazy because I don't try to become a rocket scientist. So we have to make that distinction between capacity and laziness. And, you know, even the most diminished of capacities does not excuse laziness. And there are some wonderful people that I know that really don't have a lot of intellectual capacity. They don't have a tremendous amount of capability, but man, what they've got, they use. And that's the distinction. That's the distinction. We're not talking about IQ. We're talking about heart. You know, it's through some. If you think about it, it's through somebody's diligence, somebody's willingness to not accept the answer that they have, somebody's whose curiosity that it's through them that we enjoy climate control. It's through them that we enjoy the lights that we have here. It's through them that you are enjoying the soft chairs that you have, medical care, creature comforts. It's through people who have a desire to dig into the Word and to exposit the Word that we have such tremendously rich Bible teaching in this country available to us, is because somebody is not willing to simply, you know, download a sermon and give it to you, but somebody who has dug in deep. And we also owe that to ourselves to do that same thing. A lazy person, though, is very dependent on others to ensure his own survival and well-being. If you think about it, every man is an island kind of attitude, and they're very dependent on others to ensure their own survival and well-being, but they'll give little or nothing in return for the good of another. And it is the hallmark of selfishness. Laziness is the hallmark of selfishness. So as we get into these things, there are a couple of words that I want you to remember that we're going to see that explained as laziness. One Hebrew word actually translates as sluggard, and that's what we typically think about, you know, a sluggard, somebody who just doesn't do anything. But there is also another Hebrew word in there that's laziness with treachery and deceit. They're the ones that work really hard to not work at all. And they'll deceive you, and they'll do whatever it takes in order to get to that position where they don't have to do anything. And they would rather work harder to get out of something than they would to get it done. And that's what that word is. So, and both of those concepts are in here. So while the Bible, we need to make sure that we understand this point, while the Bible is quite clear that your salvation has nothing to do with your work, it is by grace that you've been saved. It is absolutely by grace you've been saved. It is also very clear, very clear, that there is work that we must do. And we have to make those distinctions as well. We are not talking about salvation. We are talking about work that is the result of salvation. It's the work that is the result of living our life in Christ. There are three things that we're going to be covering today. characteristics of laziness, the consequences of laziness, and then the cure for laziness. So the first one, characteristics. What, if you can't read that, it says, why make your own decisions when you can let others make them for you? One of the characteristics is you depend on others to give direction. You depend on others to give direction. And for that, Scripture says, look to the ant. Look to the ant. Without a leader, they know exactly what it is they need to do. You know, and we need people who know what God has called them to do, and then they do it. They don't need somebody to tell you, to continue to tell them to do it. As we're going through the study of Nehemiah, you know, we get back to that, and Nehemiah didn't have to, he only had the Lord to tell him what to do. His heart was burdened by the report that he got from his relative when he came back and said, the walls are broken down in Jerusalem. It's a shame. It is an absolute reproach upon the people, upon the name of the Lord. And so Nehemiah's heart began to break, and he began to pray about these things. And it was very clear to him that there was something that he had to do. He had no idea what it was yet. And so, but he just continued to come before the Lord in prayer. And it was finally where God gave him that in prayer during this time, that he was the one that was going to go to rebuild those walls in Jerusalem. And he knew what it was that he had to do, and he didn't have to take counsel from anybody else. He knew what it was that he had to do. We need people who know what God has called them to do and to do it. Now, the danger of that, of course, is that somebody can squirrel out and be completely outside of authority of the body of Christ and the church, and you know, have be this lone ranger attitude and become a savior of another savior of the church. And that's not what we're talking about here. Within the authority of the church, with absolutely, positively, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, we know exactly what it is that God has called us to do, and then. We take the next step. We do it. We do it. A characteristic of laziness is that we depend upon others to give direction. The motivation needs to come from our hearts from the Lord, and we don't have to wait for somebody to tell us what to do. There is so much to be done. And we just read that. Now, this is the next thing that we have is they fail to plan ahead. What it says here is when you really just can't be bothered by it all. They kind of wing it for Jesus' sake, you know, that there's no regard for planning at all. It says here that that what the ant does is provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How many folks that you know of that just, I mean, they're running out the door last minute, no clue as to what's supposed to be happening, you know, or they know what's supposed to be happening and they know what they're supposed to be doing, but they're trying to pull it all together at the very last minute. Oh, you liars, you all do that. I know you all do that. But there is a lot of times, there is a tremendous amount of, you know, you look out and you see what it is that needs to be done. The question is then, are you willing to do what's necessary to plan ahead? Or are you going to wing it? Are you just going to see, you know, I'm just going to wait on the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do as I'm running out the door? Well, the Holy Spirit told you last month to get this taken care of before you went running out the door. So, laziness fails to plan ahead. Now, granted, there is a tremendous amount of things that we do in our lives where we can't plan everything ahead. And you know, and there is that pressure and that crunch sometimes. And we... you know, and so we really do feel rushed a lot of times, and I get that, and I'm there. But in a solid analysis, a really solid analysis, if I had the time and the energy, if I looked back over those things that were really a matter of something that came up versus something I could have planned for, oh man, I'm thinking probably 90%. You know, I've created this problem myself because I failed to plan for it. Another one, neglects to care for what he has. Proverbs 24, 30-31. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. We all know what it is that will what'll happen if we neglect things as our house starts to break down, you know, or our car starts to break down, or what we're working on starts to break down, if our plan starts to break down, whatever it is, we know that if we don't mend those things, if we don't attend to those things, then they're going to continue to be a problem. One of the things that we saw when Jesus went to start naming his disciples and calling his disciples, it's what did it say Peter and John were doing? Mending their nets. What do you think would happen if they didn't mend their nets? They wouldn't be catching any fish. So that's one of the characteristics, again, of being lazy, is they neglect to care for what they have and take that beyond just the stone wall was broken down, it was covered with thistles and everything else, and covered with thorns. Think about that, what that means in your life as well, not just your possessions, but what that means in your life. As you are, you know, are you taking care of the things that you should be taking care of in your own heart, in your mind, as well as in your possessions? Another characteristic is that they desire things but don't want to work for them. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. How many of you folks have met those kind of people where, man, I would love a 45-inch TV with a home theater. I would love for you to go get a job so you can pay for that. I would love a car. I would love for you to be able to make a payment on it. You know, a lazy person desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. God blesses hard work and diligence. Period. God blesses hard work and diligence. Proverbs 21:25-26. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. So there are two sides to this. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. So certainly as he doesn't provide for himself, he just continues to wane. But he's also coveting. He's also desiring these things all day long. But it says the righteous, it doesn't say that he righteous hoards. The righteous gives. The righteous gives and does not spare. I have created so much out of my own work. And remember again, you know, this is for simplicity's sake that I'm not going to say this each time, but we're talking about the works of our hands as we understand that God has gifted us. And we never take glory and honor for what it is, but we can say, yes, by the work of my hands. All right, so do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to continue to bring up that point as we continue through this message. Please understand that what the work of our hands do certainly has to come as a blessing from the Lord as He has gifted us, and then as we continue to develop these talents, and it produces. The work of our hands produce. And as we produce so much more that I have more than I need. And what am I going to do? I'm going to give to you. That's what a diligent man does. That's what a diligent woman does. But a greedy person, a lazy person is just, I mean, they don't have enough of what they need, so they continue to suck in everything that they need. There is nothing left over to give because there's not enough for themselves. Some people are eaten alive by goals that are unrealized. You know, man, I wish I could do that. I'd love to do this. And you hear them just talk and talk and talk about all the neat and wonderful things that they wish they could do. And you know for a fact that unless something drastic changes in their lives, they will never see those things because they don't have any diligence at all. And so they become eaten alive by those goals. Now, and again, that's different from when our desire, you know, we have some desire in our heart and maybe that desire becomes intent, and then that intent becomes a plan, and that plan becomes action. You know, it may be that desire in our heart is just can't be realized yet because something isn't quite in place, but there are those that are eaten alive by goals that are unrealized. And our desires become greater than our willingness to work for them. You know, we all want something good to happen to us, and we all think that other person has that Midas touch. Whatever it is that they put their hand to, all of a sudden it just becomes profitable. It becomes successful. You know, and we have those desires. We want those things, those kind of things to happen to us. But we also want success with a little amount of effort. We want success with a very, very little amount of effort. Do you know why it is that lotteries are so popular? I don't want to do it. I want a rich man's life, but I don't want to work for it. I don't want to work for it. I'll tell you that millionaires, people that have actually earned their money, don't play the lottery. Now, there's also a spiritual element to this. We have no real desire to bear fruit, but only to have it show up. When the Lord has put upon our hearts to do something, it is up to Him to bear that fruit. It is certainly not up to us to grunt and strain and groan. You've never seen an apple tree do that before. You've never seen an apple tree just turn bright red trying to push that fruit out. And nor should we. Nor should we. Fruit is an overflow of life. Fruit is the natural result of a healthy plant. But what does that plant have to do? That plant has to stretch its roots out. That plant has to find nutrients, and that plant has to find the water that's necessary in order to grow and in order to be healthy. And whenever in our own spiritual life, if there's no real desire to bear fruit, you know, we just want God to all of a sudden just bless our life and have people, you know, be thrilled that we walk into the room because we're, you know, because we're here. It requires work. It requires submitting ourselves to the Lord. It requires finding out what His Word says. It requires stretching out enough to do the one thing that He has called you to do, which is to go to minister to that individual, or to go to get involved in that ministry, or to do the things that you know that God has called you to perform. And that fruit will be born in your life. It does require effort on our part. Another characteristic of laziness: puts forth no effort to meet basic needs. In Proverbs 19:24, it says, "A lazy man buries his hand." Now get this picture. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. He's got something right there and he's like, "Can somebody come feed me?" No effort to meet basic needs. And that can even extend to things like personal hygiene. You know, cleaning your room, brushing your teeth. I'm sure the teenager is thrilled with me here. You know, all the things that have to do with hygiene, all the things that have to do with feeding oneself. And a lazy man doesn't even want to do that. Now we have to be very careful to filter some things here regarding the hungry and the homeless. Because there are some that really don't have any capacity to meet their basic needs. They don't have it. They just don't have it. But that does not include a lazy attitude. Those are folks that for whatever reason, maybe a physical disability, maybe a true mental disability, where there is a loss of reality, you know, and that's not the type of person that we're talking about. And I would never, and those people need our care. Those people absolutely need our care. Anybody who does not have the capacity to meet their basic needs. And so we need to make sure that we're careful to filter that out. And there are some professional panhandlers. I mean, they found out that there is a way to make money doing this and doing it well. And those are the folks that we have to go, you know what, I really don't want to contribute to what you're doing here. And so we need to be careful. But we also need to be careful not to be judgmental, and then to be quick to be judgmental. I would much rather, err on the side of grace than on judgment, on harsh judgment in these regards. But we also need to be aware, so we're not, so we don't become bitter in those things, you know, that there is a difference. And so and we don't fall into those traps. Proverbs 19:24 says, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. You know, he wants to be fed by somebody else. Proverbs 26:15 says, the lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. Now this is, if you would turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 3, if you would please. 2 Thessalonians 3. Starting in verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that we work in quietness, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So those are pretty pretty strong words regarding regarding the need to work. And it says again that they're there to work in quietness and eat their own bread. Not supposed to see that yet. And again, there's a difference between someone who won't work and someone who can't work. And we have to make that distinction. And if there is somebody truly that should be working, they need to be admonished to do so. And one of the things that it also reminds us is that for those people who do not work, who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, what is it they typically do? They get involved in your business. They get involved in other people's business. It's like, you know what? If you were tending to what you should be doing, you wouldn't be overly concerned about what's going, you know, all the nitpicky things in my life. Again, making the distinction, because we are called to admonish each other whenever we see a fault, a flaw that brings destruction into our lives. But there's a huge difference between that and this constant concern about what somebody else is doing. And that's typically because we just don't have enough, or we've got too much time on our hands and not enough work, and we're not producing what it is that God has called us to produce. A lazy person puts forth no effort to meet... A lazy person is not reliable. Laziness, you have the power. Isn't that a great picture? Not reliable. Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Ever had to send somebody to do a job? And the whole time you're thinking, is this going to get done? Is it going to get done well? Is it going to misrepresent what I'm doing? And anybody who is a manager has been there. Anybody who's been a parent has been there. Anybody who's been in any sense of authority at all, it's like, you know, there's a concern because you've sent somebody to do something and you just, as much as you really want, you know, you just keep remembering 1 Corinthians 13, believe all things, you know, and you just really want to love him and everything, and I just know he's going to screw it up. It's vinegar to the teeth. I can't wait till this is over. Another characteristic is that does not respond when facing hardship. Proverbs 24, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. You know, some people look at the future and they see something coming and they're not willing to say, this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a hardship if I don't do something now. Probably the most general example that I can give you right now has to do with saving for retirement, even though retirement is not a biblical concept. There are so many people that rely on Social Security. That rely on Social Security because they didn't bother to plan. We are into the third generation of people that are on Social Security. We've known this is coming, and we have been told for the last 20 years we're going broke. We've been told for the last 20 years this model just does not work. And so as an individual, what I have to do is say, all right, I've got to act as if this is not available to me, number one. And number two, I'll leave this to your own conscience, is this something that I should accept anyway as a Christian? And this is not, I'm not harping on this as that being the issue, but it's seems to me to be a very good example of what we're talking about here. So as we look into the future and we see that this hardship is coming and we refuse to do anything about it, that's laziness. That is laziness. Now, I know for a fact that I will one day be incapacitated and there will be a point where even if I wanted to work, I wouldn't be able to get work. And I get that. And I understand that. But the question is, what am I doing now in order to ward off that hardship? Or am I just too concerned about the what's happening today and my comfort for today and wanting to spend all I've got and those kind of things? So, again, keeping that kind of thing in mind, you know, where in my life am I looking at something and refusing to acknowledge that it's there and that I'm going to have to deal with it, and the best time to deal with that is now, so I can set myself up for success then. And that can be done, folks, fully giving over to the sovereignty of the Lord. You can prepare and you can do exactly what it is that you're supposed to do, and God says, you know what, my child, I see that it's still necessary to give you cancer and wipe out your savings. It's necessary. Remember what we talked about last week with discipline? I still see, child, that it's necessary because of my goodness, because of my sovereignty, to lay you flat on your face. That doesn't excuse me. In no way does that excuse me from seeing what I do see, acknowledging what I do see, and doing what is necessary. So I am planting during the winter, so I'm not screaming at somebody else and crying out during the time of harvest when I should be pulling something in. Does that make sense? Characteristics of a lazy person: makes excuses for the lack of involvement. It's laziness, working hard at what you really want to do. It says the lazy man says in Proverbs 22:13, "There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets." When pressed to do their duty, the lazy person is going to provide an excuse that is more fancy than reality. They're going to do whatever it takes. They're going to tell you whatever, give you whatever excuse they need in order to excuse themselves for any involvement at all, in whatever that may be, whether that is at work, whether that's at home, whether that's at church, whether it's whatever your involvement is. They're going to give you an excuse in order to not be involved. Matthew Henry says, "It's a foolish thing to frighten ourselves from real duties by fancied difficulties." It is a foolish thing to frighten ourselves from real duties by fancy difficulties. And some of those excuses are really absurd. I found a couple of them here that are great. I'll read a couple of them. These are actual excuses. These are from the workplace. We were hiring for our customer service department and had interviewed about 30 people before we found what we thought was a good fit. She was invited back for a second interview. When she hadn't arrived for her 9:30 appointment, I called the staffing agency and was informed she had just called and was stuck in traffic. I thought that was a little odd since rush hour was over, but was ready to give her the benefit of the doubt. When she arrived, she told me that when her alarm clock went off that morning, she thought she had something important to do, but she couldn't remember what it was, so she turned it off. A former coworker had a reputation of being absent on Mondays or Fridays. She had always had some lame excuse, but one day she called and said she could not come to work due to an inflamed taste bud on her tongue, claiming this would prevent her from being able to speak or answer the phone. A young man said the reason he was 3 hours late was because his three-year-old kid had thrown the car keys in the toilet and flushed it. They had to call a plumber to fish them out. I bought it. Well, this man quit, as employees sometimes do, and I hired him back a few years later, as employers sometimes do. I guess he forgot that he had given me that great story in the past, and he used the exact same story again. And this is an excuse that somebody called in to their workplace. I'm not going to work today. I spent my paycheck on lottery tickets, and I'm out of gas till payday. All right. So they make excuses for lack of involvement. Characteristics of a lazy person: they lack understanding. They certainly don't have God's thoughts on the matter. Proverbs 24:30 says, "I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding." Yeah, there we go. Success is a journey, not a destination, so stop running. Proverbs 26:14-15 says, "As a door turned," again, the beautiful picturesque language, "as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed." That's all he does. "The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back on his mouth, or to his mouth." Now, what the lazy man, the hinges that he's hung on are the hinges of the world and the flesh. And they're attached to his ease. That's all that's important to him, is his ease. And a lazy man does not understand the destruction that he's bringing upon himself when he does that. A lazy man does not understand the destruction that he's bringing upon himself when he does that. Another characteristic is that he lacks understanding. "The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." We know anybody like that? Somebody who's wiser in their own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Somebody who knows the price of everything but the value of nothing. Somebody who can give you an opinion on absolute mind-numbing triviality. Somebody who can absolutely tell you for sure that the way that they're doing it is dead right, even though the wisest of men, many, many wise people, can point to exactly why it's wrong. But yet they'll continue on in that path. That's a characteristic of a lazy person. They lack understanding. They're wiser in their own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. His good opinion of himself is the cause of his sluggardness, of his laziness or his slothfulness. And he's not going to take pains to get wisdom because he already thinks he's smart enough. And it's been said that it's a conceit of the sufficiency of our attainments. The sufficiency of our attainments is a great enemy to our improvement. Let me read that again. A conceit of the sufficiency of our attainments is a great enemy to our improvement. I'm good enough. That's basically what it comes down to. I'm good enough. I don't need to get better. I'm good enough. And that is one of the earmarks of a lazy person. This is interesting. A lazy person can destroy the work of other people. It can destroy the work of others. In Proverbs 18, verse 9, it says, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." Breaking that down a little bit, he's basically saying it's of the same family of somebody who is a corrupter, somebody who destroys that which has been built. Sometimes that's translated robber. Sometimes that's translated prodigal. They destroy the very things that you're trying to do. A lazy person can destroy the very things that you're trying to do, whether that's neglect of a home, whether that's neglect of employment, a business, a relationship, a fellowship. All those things are corrupted or put to waste. Those things that other people are trying to build are put to waste by a lazy person. And the one that knows that most is somebody who's married to a lazy person, or somebody who has a child who is a lazy person, or a parent who's a lazy person. They know that. They feel that kind of pain. What I'm trying to do here, you're destroying in your laziness. But more importantly, it's a destruction in their relationship with the Lord. It is absolutely destructive in their relationship with the Lord. Matthew Henry: he that is trifling and careless in praying and hearing is brother to him that does not pray or hear at all. And omissions of duty and in duty are as fatal to the soul as commissions of sin. Can I read that to you again? He that is trifling and careless in praying and hearing, and talking about hearing from the Lord, is a brother to him that does not pray or hear at all. And omissions of duty and in duty are as fatal to the soul as commissions of sin. If we are not actively pursuing the things of the Lord in our relationship with Him through prayer, through study of the Word, through putting the Word to work in our lives, to producing a fruit, to allow that fruit to produce that comes from the Spirit and the Word of God, it's the same destruction as if we're an unbeliever. Especially when it comes to those that are around you. Because they see that lethargy and they see that laziness, and it gives permission a lot of times. And not only does it do that, but it also prevents the entirety of people from moving ahead. Paul was not writing poetically. Primarily poetically, I should say, when he was talking about the body of Christ being like a body. You know, it was a beautiful metaphor, certainly, or allegory, I'm not sure which that would be. Sorry, I need to look that up. But more importantly, a body is an organism, and a church body is an organism. And as a body, if all of a sudden the left arm decided not to work, what do you think that's going to do? All of a sudden, the capacity is drastically diminished. So as a body of Christ, the question is, do we have that slothful mentality? As a member of the body of Christ, do we have that slothful mentality? That is just as sinful as if we were to go out and murder somebody or cheat on our spouse or anything else. It is just as sinful. Laziness has nothing to do in the life of a Christian. Another characteristic of laziness is unreliable in times of need. When you're only getting $5.15 an hour. I love that picture. Proverbs 17:17. And look at the contrast here. A friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. When you have a lazy person, Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Whenever you have those times of great need, who do you call on? Somebody you know that can deliver. Who do you not call on? The person who says, "Why didn't you call me?" All I won't say any more about that. So what are the consequences of laziness, a sleepiness or a lethargy? Proverbs 19:15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Another consequence of laziness is in Ecclesiastes 10:18, because of laziness the building decays, and through idleness of hands the house leaks. Things begin to fall apart. Even projects begin to fall apart through laziness and through neglect. You know, whether it is that you're something that you're working on, or again, just the physical aspect of things, whether it's your home, your lawn, your car, whatever the case may be, whenever you see something that needs to be fixed and you neglect to fix it, you know, whenever you see something, and again, this refers to habits as well. I mean, just as simple as the first time you leave a Coke can on the table, for instance, in your living room. Let's get real simple here. The first time you leave a Coke can on your table and you go pass back and forth a couple of times and it's still there the next time you bring a Coke can, and then all of a sudden you look around and you've got a whole case of empty Coke cans sitting on your table, when really all it would take is for you to take it over there and put it in the trash. You know, or any things like that, you know. And guys, I'm telling you, I did the same thing when I was young. Basketball in the waste trash. Missed it again. And still there a day later. That's the problem. The laziness, and those kind of things, and your life begins to get destroyed, begins to become deteriorated. Another aspect, constant trouble. Proverbs 15:19. There are thorns in the path. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. There's thorns in the path. There's nothing but problems in it. Do you know that person, or are you that person where there just seems to be one problem after another? It seems like nothing ever goes right. Your life is a total mess. And I'm not talking about those times where you get up in the morning and you say, "How am I going to do it again?" I'm not talking about, we all get to those times of frustration occasionally where it's just like, man, you know, there's just a sense of fatigue. But what I'm talking about here is that it just seems like I can't seem to catch a break. You know, everything I do seems to turn to mush. That's probably because there's a laziness in your heart. There's a laziness in the way that you do things. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. Yeah, a secular quote that I've heard, which I think applies here, is that that luck favors a prepared mind. And I think that concept is accurate. Forget the understanding of luck, but whenever an opportunity comes our way, it's going to favor a prepared mind, because the prepared mind understands it for what it is, an opportunity. But if there's not a willingness to prepare ourselves, if there's not a willingness to do what we're supposed to do, then there's always thorns in the path. There's always things that we need to clear out. There's always that consequence of something that we did 5 years ago that is now coming to fruition, and it's in our path here. For example, in my own life, in high school, I had the capacity to be an honor student, and in my senior year, I finally got to that. But the first 3 years, I was a total goof off. I mean, like, amazing. I was brilliant in my goof offiness. And so by my senior year, I had to work extremely hard just to get to where I got. And I always had that capacity. I always had the ability to get there. And it wasn't really hard. I mean, you guys have seen what public school looks like. And because of that, all of a sudden I found myself, when I finally said, okay, well, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take on responsibility. There wasn't a university in the entire United States that was going to look at me. And certainly was not going to look at me for scholarships. So now all of a sudden I had to face what it was that I had just sown for the last 3 years. I now have a field full of thorns. I now have a field full of bristles. And I have spent, I kid you not, the entirety of my life clearing out those thorns. Even as much as the Lord blesses me, there are still decisions that I made as a teenager that have caused me thorns and thistles that I've had to clear out for the rest of my life. And I think you guys could probably reach back and figure out, you know, if I had done things a little bit differently. Now, the really cool thing is God's grace. You know, the really cool thing is God can use even that, you know. Some suspect that the reason why I got up in the pulpit was because I actually paid somebody to do it. It's not true. God will use anybody. I am living proof of that. So, but the principle to understand is, why in the world do I want to do something here that I know is going to bear thistles and thorns in the way, in my path? Even if it's not right now, it will later on. Oh, that's not gonna hurt me. I'm immortal. Yeah, it will. It will. In Proverbs 22:5, to continue that on for just a moment. Oh my goodness, I apologize. I had no idea what time it was. 22:5 says, "Takes on this." It says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them." Again, this takes on a spiritual implication. The way of the perverse in contrast with the way of the wise. It is very important to guard your own soul. It is very important to guard your own soul. Proverbs 22:5 says, "Thorns and snares are the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them." Now think about this. Every parent has quoted this. I'll guarantee it. In the next verse it says, "Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Thorns and snares are the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Parents, train up your children not to have thorns and snares in their lives. Laziness in the heart of a parent will produce thorns and snares in the life of their children. Laziness in the parent will produce that in the life of their children. As a fellowship, we have begun to devote ourselves to training up our children diligently. Families have been doing that for years, and I commend you for that. But we need to make sure as a fellowship that we're not lazy in our obligation to do that. We need to make sure that we are absolutely training up our children in the way that we should go, teaching them not to plant thorns and snares in their paths. Poverty and need. Proverbs 13:4. That's another consequence of laziness. "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." Proverbs 20:4. "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." We covered that before. Same thing. They're struck with poverty because they weren't willing to do what was necessary. And Proverbs 24:34. We read this before. "So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." And stick with me for just another minute, because this is extremely important. And then we'll have to. I think we'll wrap up before we get to the actual cure, unless you want to stick with me for that as well. Proverbs 25, if you would, verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also said, He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this is the continuance and the conclusion of the Olivet Discourse. Matthew 24 describes the signs of his coming. Thinking about that, the apostles asked him, when are you coming back, Lord? What should we look for? And he's saying, it's wars, rumors of wars, disease, plagues, earthquakes. You know, these are the things that are going to be the signs of my coming. Matthew 25, then, he has 3 parables. This is the same conversation that he's having with his apostles. He has 3 parables speaking to the readiness of his people on his return. First is the ten virgins with their oil. And we remember that one, right? They were not prepared when the bride came. The second one is the parable of the talents, which we just read. And the third one is about the sheep and the goats, that the Lord will judge and say that the sheep will enter in, the goats are going to be cast out. Because what is it that you did or didn't do? You visited the sick. You visited those in prison. You fed the poor. You didn't. There's things that we have to do. There are things that God has called us to do. And what's important to understand is that there truly is a loss of eternal reward at stake here. He says, his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And he also then he said, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even that what he has will be taken away. Now, so again, if you look at verse 30, it says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Even what he has will be taken away, and he's going to be cast into outer darkness. Is this being used in terms of salvation? Or perhaps that he was never the Lord's to begin with. Perhaps he was never the Lord's to begin with. I don't think he's talking about losing his salvation. Jesus called him a lazy and wicked servant. Jesus never called his believers wicked. Wicked means without the Lord. He never called his believers wicked. Yet this man was counted amongst his servants, as master's servants. Reading the Word or attending church is not the same as living the Word and being part of the body. It's as simple as that. We have work to do. We cannot escape that. That is inescapable. God has given us things to do. God has given us work to do. And it's not busy work, and it's not work for the purposes of impressing Him. It's because we're walking in obedience, and we understand the blessing of obedience. This is so important to understand. Laziness is the number one mark of the unbelieving heart, and it will result in the loss of a reward. 1 Corinthians 3:16-14, let each one take heed how he builds on it, being that it being the foundation of Christ. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. When we stand before the Lord, those things which we have been doing according to what He would have us to do are the gems and the precious jewels that will stand that fire. But everything else that we've done, even if we think we did it in the name of the Lord, all of those things that we did not do, they're just going to be burned away. I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to understand what all that means. When I get to heaven, I would think that, you know, I'm in heaven. What more can I ask for? I'm here. But the Lord made it important enough that He put it in His Word that there is a reason why He would want us to know that there is a distinction in rewards in heaven, and we're going to want to do that. And so we're going to desire to do what it is that He has called us to do. And so we recognize that blessing and obedience here on earth. And then when we get to heaven, man, all this is for me? I didn't do that much. No, but what you did faithfully. What you did in obedience. There's work to be done. Laziness should not be found amongst the Christians. Should not be found amongst the Christians. Nor does God put a premium on laziness. And I'm asking that you would allow that scripture to search you. Don't rely on somebody else's expectations, you know, which you're never going to meet. You know, we all think that somebody else should be doing more than what they're doing. Don't rely on somebody else's expectations or feelings that are going to lead you to condemnation or pride. But allow these scriptures to search you. Allow the Lord to bring into your heart and mind the things that you should be doing. And it's not, is what I'm doing enough? Because we can all get overwhelmed. I mean, just think about everything that we could be doing. Think about the way that the world is going now with the destruction that is happening in the world. There is so much. It can be overwhelming. So we can't think in terms of, is what I'm doing enough? But is what I'm doing what God wants me to do? Am I being faithful in what God has called me to do? He gave one 10 talents. He gave one 5. He gave one. Am I doing what God has called me to do? So here's the cure. Very quickly. Learn from the ant. Learn from the ant. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Consider what it is that they do. They do what it is that they're supposed to do because God has called them to do it. They're carrying 5 times their own weight beyond what they should be able to do. We cry out to have our load lightened, and instead we should be asking for stronger shoulders. The ant is doing what he is built to do. Zechariah 4:6, it says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord, not by power nor by not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Ask the Holy Spirit to do, to give us what we need to do, what He's asked us to do. Observe the consequences of laziness is another cure. When I saw it and I considered it well, I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Another cure for laziness, serve the Lord with your whole heart, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12:11. Another cure for laziness, again, serving the Lord with your whole heart. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. I'm going to ask the Lord to bring you to conclusion on this. I think that we've covered a tremendous amount of material here, and there's plenty of opportunity for us to consider what it is that God has told us here. And there's just a tremendous amount of wisdom here in preventing the very things that we so desperately desire to prevent in our lives. There's so many things here that can take us into that wonderful relationship with the Lord that we desperately desire to have. But it requires work. So again, I would just ask the Lord to search your heart in these things. If the worship team wants to come on up. Father, we thank you so much that you've given us your word, that you've given us your spirit. God, that you've given us work to do, that we might enjoy the richness of Lord, just doing things in your name and Lord, just being a part. That's all you desire for us, is that we would just be a part. And then we might see all the wonderful things, not that we do, but that you do. Because there's nothing that we can do apart from you. So God, I ask that you would bless the work of our hands. First, that you would ordain the work of our hands. And then you would bless it. So we might know the richness of your spirit. So we might know the richness of your generosity. God, I ask that you would bless us during this day and during this week. That you would pour out your blessings upon us. Again, our hearts and our prayers go with Karen and Jay and with Greta as they continue their journey to Minnesota. Lord, in our heart also goes to Jim and Susan, and we thank you so much for the wonderful news there, and pray that it would continue to be favorable. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and stand. Everlasting God, the years go by, but you're unchanging in this fragile world. You are the only firm foundation, and always loving, always true. You're always merciful and good, so good. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are the same. You never change. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are faithful, and we will trust in you. We will trust in you. Uncreated one, you have no end and no beginning. Earthly powers fade, but there is no end to your kingdom. Always loving, always true. You're always merciful and good, so good. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are the same. You never change. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are faithful, and we will trust in you. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are the same. You never change. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are faithful, and we will trust in you. We will trust in you. We will trust in you. In you. God unchanging, Yahweh, firm foundation, Yahweh, God unchanging, Yahweh, firm foundation. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are the same. You never change. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are faithful, and we will trust in you. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are the same. You never change. Yesterday, today, and forever, you are faithful, and we will trust in you. We will trust in you. We will trust in you. We will trust in you.
Amen, amen. Lord, we just praise you, God. And just please go and have a wonderful day. And if you're going to the picnic, that starts at 1. And have a great time there, too. And have a wonderful Sunday.